The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
How are you doing?
I am doing great.
There we go. All right, so welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. First of all, tell us a little bit about Prudence. Who is she and why you decided to pick up a pen?
So, I always like to introduce myself with where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
I am from South. San Fernando, born and bred. A little bit about me. I have a passion for people. So, my background is in psychology and human resources management.
Mm-hmm.
And then I studied Six Sigma, Black Belt, which is about program and process improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds strange, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of blends in well with the work that I do in terms of people development. So as an HR professional, I've focused on training, learning, performance management. And I recently translated that skill set into my business,
mm-hmm.
which is a boutique life coaching consultancy service where I support my clients in achieving their heart-centered goals. Yeah, so that's Prudence. I love to help. I love to see people improve. And I want persons to be intentionally and unapologetically themselves, because that's how be to be you, and there's nobody like you, and I want people to understand that.
The thing is, you mentioned HR, which is a very interesting set of skills to have.
Yes.
And the way in which we apply what would be HR rules to
mm-hmm.
everyday life is a whole a lot more common than you think.
Yes.
So you want to tell us, like, give us a scenario as to how those things do apply. And if it is that we are aware of it, how we can make those simple applications to better improve how we relate with one another.
So when you look at the definition, the simple definition of human resource management is exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
Managing the human resource. And who is the human resource? It's us in
mm-hmm.
our everyday lives. And when you look at different areas within HR, specifically the area that I specialize in, it's training, learning, development, and performance improvement. And when we look at ourselves as a holistic person,
mm-hmm.
how can we, one, better understand who we are? How do we understand the things that we want? And how can we achieve that? Right? So when you look at human resources development, there's something called the training gap. You understand where you are, where you need to be, and then how you're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when we look at ourselves, what's important to us? What do we really want? What are the things that we need to do to get there? Right? And that's basic training and development. So when we look at our lives, we think again about what's important to us and what we need to do to get to that particular goal. Right?
Mm-hmm.
When we look at performance improvement, which is a big part of HR, when you do an assessment, I encourage my clients to assess, you know, how their week went, how their day went, how their week went, how their month went, how the quarter went. And is it to the standard that you wanted?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when we translate that into the corporate environment, that's a performance appraisal. Yeah? You cannot manage and improve if you don't measure it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a saying within all organizations and corporations. So while we look at human resource management as that department, we could translate some of those learnings into how we lead and manage ourselves. And that's why I say that we are the everyday leader.
So yeah? I see one of my favorite sayings and one of my favorite writers as well, Lao Tzu. Mastering others is strength. Mastering yourself is true power.
Yes.
How do you define what mastery looks like, especially as it pertains to, as it, what you mentioned before, knowing what you want,
mm-hmm.
deciding on that, and then setting on a plan also with self-assessment?
Yes. So self-leadership, and that's really the whole concept of the everyday leader. And my notion is being yourself intentionally and unapologetically, and leading with intention. So living a life of purpose on purpose. And to me, that's true leadership. So understanding yourself fully and being a good steward of the gifts and talents that God has given you. A lot of, as I tell people, But if the pastoral cemetery and if those bodies could talk, they would tell you the regrets of not doing the things that they would have wanted to do. And sadly, my dad was one of them. He worked, and he did an excellent job of providing for us, but he put aside his goals to support us. Mm-hmm. And when he passed away at the age of 60, so he couldn't even enjoy the fruits of retirement.
Yeah.
And my mission is for persons not to reach at that stage. Mm-hmm. For you to live fully, for you to understand yourself, because you are the leader of yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
in defining what a leader is it important to know that definition?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you define what a leader is?
So conventionally, a leader is somebody who leads teams. And I started off my book talking about, you know, I checked all the boxes. So according to Oxford, the person who leads, commands, you know, takes charge of a group, a country, etc. But mm-hmm. I go with leadership by what my father would have told me. So he taught me the principles. Unfortunately, he didn't live it out to the extent, but mm-hmm. he taught me the principles of leadership is learning to essentially lead yourself. Because he used to tell me, Prudence, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. And leadership is really taking charge of yourself and taking ownership. So taking that responsibility and ownership of the holistic you. So to me, leadership equals self-mastery.
And being grounded or becoming grounded, what does that look like to individuals? Is it you lock off your phone for a whole day, mm-hmm. or go to, let's say, a retreat and disappear for a couple of days? Or is it that you continuously come to work but give yourself a little 5-10 minutes,
yeah.
you know, isolation? What does being grounded look like?
I love that question, because being grounded is part of taking care of you, and it's part of that self-leadership. And it looks different in different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So grounded is taking that time to nurture yourself. There may be periods, I remember I did a fast and I took off all of my devices just to sit, think, spend time with God, read some books, and just lock off, because we live in a world that's so full of distractions. Mm-hmm. Right? So part of that includes, thereafter that process, I mean, is taking a 15 minutes ever so often to just quiet the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet the mind and focus on you. Speak to yourself. You know, we are afraid of the silence. You know?
No, but speaking to yourself, and then you look like you're kind of mad.
You're speaking without moving your lips.
I mean, the thing is, Trinis can take things so to the extreme.
Yeah.
You know, just to create a how to put it, a look.
Yeah.
You know,
and I like how you said that, because I did a vision boarding session with some girls recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them the most important and powerful conversations you would have is that with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what people say, it matters what you say to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we underrate the conversations we have with ourselves. And usually the conversations that we have with ourselves default to the negative, default to the criticism.
Oh, default to societal standards,
exactly,
as well.
Yeah. What everybody else says. But what do you say about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
How do you see yourself? And that's why within the book I have a section for affirmations. So we could train ourselves to speak life to ourselves, to speak kindly to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Also, being aware, just to go back to one of the things that you were saying, which I found very important, being aware of what you want and being aware of how to get those things, or at least the ability to set goals to not only acquire physical things,
mm-hmm.
but if it is personal goals as to, okay, like, you want to run 10 5Ks in a year,
yes.
or you want to build a garden and be self-sufficient so you won't have to spend so much money on tomatoes, or
yeah.
you know, things like that. You know, it's very important to be specific,
yes.
as to what that goal is like.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? Because I've seen with many of my book club people coming in, it's always going back to taking a book and writing.
It always does.
Is wording very important as to how you write it in front of you? Can
yes.
you talk a little bit about that, the language that we use?
I love that question, because in goal setting, you need to be very specific. If it's not specific, then you cannot measure it. And if you can't measure it, then it's you can't ascertain if you actually achieved it. And that is also a principle in performance management in HR. If it's not clear, it's not going to be achieved. It has been proven. There are studies that show it. If your goal isn't clear, there's a very small chance of you actually achieving it. So when I sit down and do goal setting, I like to ask five whys. So I could get down into something more specific. Okay, you want to lose weight. Why? Why you want to lose weight? If you when you answer that first question, I ask why again. How is this going to improve your life? So the goal statement is a combination of the what, the why, and the when. Because part of your goal need to have a timeline. If you don't have a timeline...
Yeah, you have to have a deadline.
You will continue towards the end of time. Yeah. As adults, we have to parent ourselves, you know. Think about it when you have kids or working around children. If you're not specific, then they're not going to do what you ask. Right? So it combines the what, the why, and the when. So I want to achieve... lose 15 pounds so that I could get more energy, and I want to lose this weight by December 31st. And then you could drill it down even further. That involves losing 2 pounds every month from now until then. So it's easy for you to gauge and easy for you to measure yourself. Because the goal doesn't stop there. You have to monitor it.
And monitoring a goal, when we come back, I want to know what that looks like, because in that, you have to tell the truth to yourself about that goal. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back, TNT. So we're having a discussion with Miss Prudence Williams-Laborde. The title of her book, The Becoming the Best Version Every Day of Yourself Daily Leader. And this is, I think it's a two-part book where you get a guide to do the day-to-day task of becoming a better leader.
Yes.
And also, is it like a workbook as well?
So to accompany the book, I have a digital journal with some guidelines and more journal prompts. So actually, the title is The Everyday Leader, Becoming the Best
Leader. The Everyday Leader.
Yes.
So I read the byline within the headline. I do apologize.
That's okay.
The Everyday Leader, Becoming the Best Version of Yourself Daily.
Yes.
But the two combined mean sense too.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Strange enough. Just before the break, we started talking about, you know, goals, goal setting, and checking in on that goal. And off air, I started talking about, you know, that is such a very important topic to have and a discussion to have when you set a goal and you check in with it. There is a tendency when checking in with the goal, you kind of refer to other people. You know, do you think this makes sense? Is there a better way of doing it? How can you define what your voice sounds like as it pertains to your goal, and how to filter out what may be well-intentioned advice, but may also be negativity that would kind of freeze you into place? How do we define that?
I love that question, because especially as women, we love to take feedback from others and use that as a benchmark. Now, I tell people, you have to know who to take and receive advice from. So the person, if we're looking at them, is it somebody you are accustomed taking feedback from, one? And two, are they a credible source? Have they done this already? What is their intent? And I just love the spirit that God has placed within us. We could be able to discern, but sometimes we ignore the signs and the signals something is genuine versus not.
Yeah, I think respect has a very big part to play with it as well. Because if you respect the person, then you're more likely to hear the advice. If not...
Well. Yes, exactly. So you filter in it through those lens. Do you respect them? Are they a credible source? Have they done it before? Is the intent, when you take the feedback, is it from a space of helpfulness or criticism? Because when you have received a goal for yourself or created one for yourself, you know why you wanted it. The mere fact that you have the goal, it's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to filter it through those lens, because not all feedback is good feedback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not mentioned. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have had goals, for example, when I was doing my master's. I started my master's shortly after my bachelor's, and I received so much negative feedback. You're too young. You don't have the work experience. Why are you spending money on that?
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to me. And they came from a space of, you know, that they're fine at spending money too quickly. But I knew what I wanted, and I'm glad I did it at the time I did it.
Because mm-hmm.
when I look back, I don't think I could have done it any other time.
Mm-hmm.
So I had
mm-hmm.
to block out the noise and focus on the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how do you define, within criticism, what is critical criticism or constructive mm-hmm. criticism that you can adapt and, you know, accept,
yeah,
and not feel like, you know, you just totally yeah. deflate.
Yeah.
And as you said, criticism meant to deflate, but really throws you off track.
Yeah. A simple benchmark, is it helpful or hurtful?
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to propel you forward? Is it going to help you on your journey? If it is, take it. If it's not, You rest it on your table.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need to also not take things too personally as well.
Mm-hmm.
When we change that mindset, you would realize that, you know, you could take information as useful and move along, or just park it. Put it in the parking lot, as I tell people. Put it in the parking lot.
In
because
the
sometimes the feedback might be helpful in the future.
Yeah. I think too, when you look at, you know, the environments that we want to, the environment that we want to create and the environments that we're working in at present, you had to kind of navigate.
Exactly.
You had to navigate.
Exactly.
You know, and I think taking that experience too, you can tell persons who want to venture into the areas that you've made roads in, mm-hmm. like to be mentors and so on.
Yes.
If it looks like this, then it's this. If yep. it looks like that, then, you know, this is how you prepare for it.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of things that even as you are prepared, you're still not prepared for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And you'll actually be never 100% prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I wanted to call out as well is that accountability is very important. So you need to have your trusted mentor. So when I talk about, you know, the feedback, is it harmful, is it helpful? It's like that unsolicited type of feedback,
mm-hmm.
right? Or those persons, sometimes even families, relatives, loved ones, they don't understand the goals, so they're quick to jump to criticism,
mm-hmm.
right? So again, you need to respect, you need to know if the person is a credible source. But I also always suggest having a trusted mentor within that season of your goal, somebody who you could look up to, mm-hmm. so that you could bounce ideas off of within in the season of that goal, you know?
Yesterday, strange enough, the San Juan Business Association's president, Mr. Ali, was talking to us about doing businesses and entrepreneurs and so mm-hmm. on. And I asked him the question about mentorship
yeah.
and people who are willing to, as you say, want to build businesses but recognize that they do need those mentors. How is it that is it advertising, or is it that people are not willing to be mentors in this space and time? Because I find it very difficult to find organizations or people who are really willing to give of that knowledge.
Yeah.
Or is it that people are still in the mode of gatekeeping? What do you think that...
I love that question.
Yeah.
Because I am one who don't gatekeep at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sometimes, and I think it's
our fault at times. Now, I tell people that mentorship, a lot of people don't recognize this. You have paid mentorship as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have paid and you have free. We are in a season that we have a lot of gatekeepers. And those of us who don't gatekeep, persons may not know about them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it involves a lot of research, one, and being willing and to take the risk to send somebody a message.
Mm-hmm.
I told somebody the other day, I actually made a video about it, closed mouths are not fed. So
mm-hmm.
sometimes you have to take the uncomfortable feeling and send a message. Hi, mm-hmm. hi, Prudence, I saw you on this particular channel on this particular date and you said something. Would you mind having a discussion or a call to mm-hmm. talk some more about it? I have mm-hmm. an idea that I would like to bounce off of you. Mm-hmm. I could tell you 90% of the time the person would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
You would not know if you don't try.
Very true. Very
I
true.
Have right now free 30-minute calls. If you just want to have a discussion on a goal, you want to bounce off an idea on something, you can set up a free 30-minute call.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would see, okay, do we want to take a paid avenue going forward? Because mm-hmm. I have coaching programs. Or you continue to follow up with me on Instagram and my socials. You join my email community. Every Monday you get a tip on goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
So there are avenues. You know, you just have to research and you have to be willing to send a message.
Now, coming back to taking the step to shoot your shot, as they say, young
shoot
people,
your shot.
Right? You mentioned in your book, I see here, forming habits.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is a very important part of it because they say once you form the habits, it becomes part of you. It becomes the discipline. What are the, let's say, three top habits that you think should be employed when starting any venture?
I love that question. That's a really interesting question. So going back to leader, everyday leader, one of the habits that you must have for yourself, and it takes some time to build, I call it the CEOD, right? You are the CEO of your life,
mm-hmm.
right? CEO, chief executive officer, or chief execution officer, one of them,
mm-hmm.
right? You have to be the CEO. And what does a CEO do? You know, we need to take things from the business world mm-hmm. and apply it to ourselves. And even the Bible speaks about it. Before you build a house, you have to count the cost. So you have to sit and review and discuss your goals. I sit every Sunday, sometimes it might be on a Monday, depending on how busy the weekend is. So just think, mm-hmm. how was it last week? What do I want to do this week towards achieving whatever goals or tasks that I have set out?
Yeah.
So just as with the organization, every week you start off with a team meeting. You need to meet with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that is definitely one habit, meeting with yourself. Another habit, which is like a subset of that, and is something that we need to improve up as a society, is taking time to manage your money. Like, even if you have nothing else in the account, you need to get comfortable looking at your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Another habit that I would suggest is journaling. It sounds cheesy, especially to males. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell people, when you take out from what's in your brain and put it on paper, you realize that some of the things that you're anxious about is not as serious.
Mm-hmm.
So it has that effect. And two, you're creating a record. And journaling doesn't need to be dear diary. Journaling is, you sit, I have prompts in my book as well and in the accompanying book. You know, asking yourself some key questions.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I want to go? Why do I want to be there? What's important to me? How was my day? How was my week? Just sitting for 5 minutes at the end of every day to just let out what's on your mind.
And one of the things I think is very important when dealing with, you know, intention and also becoming a leader is how you deal with failure. Mm-hmm. Now, let me put it to you in this way. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to get messages and so on. No, you don't like it. If you were to be the mentor for President Trump,
mm-hmm.
how would you tell him how to handle failure? Because I think he's one of the persons at this present time that does not deal with negative feedback well.
Yeah.
But how do you deal with failure?
So when I managed big teams, like so many teams I've managed already,
mm-hmm.
and every team I tell, I said, I don't use the word failure, by the way.
Mm.
I said, it's not a failure, it's always a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's always a lesson. If we look at everything that's happening for our good, you would realize a failure is a lesson. So when you experience a situation that is deemed a failure, you look at it. What could I actually take from this situation that's useful
mm-hmm.
so that I don't repeat in the future?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mindset thing. So when you recognize and you have the mindset that in every situation it's happening for my good and it's a lesson in the air, you release some of that guilt. Mm-hmm. You release some of that anxiety so that you could move forward. Mm-hmm. So what is the lesson? So we went through this crisis. We lost X amount of money. Something happened. You crash your car, whatever. Whatever you deem as failure. What's the lesson in this for me?
Mm-hmm.
And once we look at life as a compilation of lessons, it's us being a little more proactive going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so always a lesson.
And, well, we've got about 20 more minutes again. I'm thinking from the perspective of young people, because
mm-hmm.
I believe that from the comments of listeners and so on, we're under the impression that young people are at a crisis moment at this point in time. You know, if you wanted to impart a particular message for them, what would it be? And you think we have hope for them?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, answer no.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes.
That was after the break.
No. We'll take the break after.
Okay. Sorry. I like the question because I have a heart for the young people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm heavily involved in children's ministry. I'm also part of an NGO. I did not mention that. I sincerely apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that NGO is really working with young people and other generations as well. And I know the time that we're in. When you look at what's happening on the news, when you look at what's happening in social media, it could be a little grim,
mm-hmm.
right? It could be a little gloomy.
I find it very gloomy.
But on the flip side, this is the first era that we have so much information and knowledge that's available
mm-hmm.
that could be used for our benefit. And having sat down with some girls last week, Saturday, and we're doing the vision boards, it showed me that we still have some hope out there. And why I say that is that we need, and us, the older ones, need to really push the message to our young people that you are important, you are valuable, you are needed, and you have a seed of greatness within you. And I always tell every young person, the mere fact that you're alive, it means that you're still serving a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It means that God still has work for you to do, and it means that you are the answer to someone's problem.
Mm-hmm.
And once you understand that, you recognize that you have the ability to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
We are all unique. We are all here uniquely purposed, and you have a seed of greatness within you. So no matter what is happening around the world, you are you, and there's nobody you are than you. And you serve a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So understand who you are, understand your gifts, because I always say God don't play dice and he always leaving little hints.
Mm-hmm.
Understand yourself. Spend some time reading, understand, you know, what are you placing?
Oh, my word, read. Yes, read. This is why I have the book club. Read, please.
Yes. And we had our inaugural book, Authors Village,
mm-hmm.
the 27th of June, to encourage persons to read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was in Aruka. And it's not going to be an annual event because I want persons to understand there's power in reading.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need to put on the phone and read, and you would be surprised at the worlds you could enter through mm-hmm. just reading. Yeah, so get comfortable reading. I say literacy is never out of style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so understand you are important, you have value. And as the older ones, we need to encourage that. We need to encourage more than discourage.
Mm-hmm.
And don't look at what's happening around the world, but look at what's happening within you. Because you can only control yourself.
And finally, I want to go back to one of the more creative aspects of figuring out what your goals are, the vision board.
Yes.
I love the vision board thing. You know, tell us, what does that look like? I mean, and the creativity that goes into it. What's the process of the vision board?
So I call it vision board parties every year, and I do like ad hoc based on person's requests. So a mommy wanted to do for her daughters, and I enjoyed every part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So vision board is just not a collage of pictures, as you see. It's not just about manifesting and you're just hoping these things come to pass. It's mm-hmm. a process. Mm-hmm. So the first part of the process, and I'm going back to journaling, is that in the session, I facilitate asking key questions to get the thinking process. You know, one of the basic first ones is what's important to you and why. So when we go to the sticking, the pictures and all of that, you know, one, choose an astronaut if that's not important to you, a picture of an astronaut, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of start like a funnel. Start with the broad and then we get down into the narrow.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that people start to cry about because sometimes you need to write a letter of forgiveness to yourself so you could release some of that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So we go into what's important out, you know, we drill down into some specific questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then we break out into the vision board, actually creating the board.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's tied into what we discussed before. And everybody's boards are unique.
Mm-hmm. So if you want pictures, let's say you want to go Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
there's pictures of hibiscus flowers,
yes.
and the what do you call it, the lays?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. I don't know why it's not
chains
coming.
With the flowers,
yes,
on,
yes.
It. You know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And a little, probably a little vial of sand.
Yeah.
So you have those things visually.
Yes.
What reinforcing.
Represents the goal, yes.
Yeah.
And that's the importance of the vision board. So when we think about vision board, and we know that saying, write the vision and make it plain, it's to serve as a reminder to you. The vision board isn't for anybody else but for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that is a big reminder of what you're aspiring towards, and that's why I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So we do the thing. We do the creating, and then in this creating, it represents all the things that you want to achieve in this season or within over a period of years.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you have a vision board for a year, or you have vision boards for 2 to 3 years,
mm-hmm.
or 5 years, right? So I have a digital vision board. I have it sometimes on my phone, and I update it ever so often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's something that's a living tool for me.
Yeah, it's ever changing as well.
Yes, okay. yes.
I want to thank you so much for coming today. I liked our conversation today. Miss Prudence Williams Laborde, is there like a Instagram page or somewhere that persons who are interested after hearing this say, oh, I like to do a vision board? How do they get in contact with you?
So on all platforms, I recently joined the young people TikTok.
Girl,
I'm going to go on TikTok. Well, I'm on TikTok now.
I didn't quite navigate that one yet.
Listen, TikTok is a different beast by itself. Anyway, but you could just look up The Everyday Leader,
mm-hmm.
On Facebook, Instagram, on LinkedIn. I go by my full name, Prudence Williams Laborde, and my email address is theeverydayleader2020@gmail.com.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested to, you know, come on board, or you want to guide your young people into something like that, because as you say, habits are created by repetition.
Yes.
So the earlier they start, you know, they could help through college and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and keep you on track. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, TNT, going to take a short break. And when we come back, it's almost time to close off the first hour. Wait, before you go, I see that there's a voice note. Let's hope that it's actually a message for you or a question, and probably we can answer before we go.
Okay.
Good morning, Tuska.
Morning.
This is one of the better interviews compared to the normal everyday conversations about the government and politics and all of the, what I would, you know, sometimes say negative. This interview is very inspiring, it's very uplifting, and it also gives a chance for the very frequent callers, you know, to think about something different and give them a chance, as well as me, to self-retrospect as well. Love the interview. Hopefully you have some more of these on different topics.
Oh, yes, we hope that we will do that as well. We aim to have a balance, you know, to, as you say, change the thinking and change the narrative from time to time, because, yeah, we need to have a little fresh air ever so often. Yeah.
To watch darkness, we need some light.
I tell you. And I appreciate you bringing that light today, Miss Laborde.
You're welcome.
All right. TNT, let's take that break. We'll be right back.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.